It's the Cab Chat Show with Super Cabby. He's a right cool blimey geezer.
Good afternoon and welcome to another stonking edition of Cab Chat. Coming up in this week's show, we've got Recap Dan from Plan and also our Mr. Drumslayer, who's of course always here. And me, Super Cabby, your host for the show this week. So what are we going to be talking about this week? Well, I'm going to be talking about the airport, Heathrow Airport, plus a couple of other things. All that and a lot more after this.
On your phone, iPad, tablet, and the internet. Cab Chat Radio Show. Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
So a few weeks ago, I decided that I was going to go and put on at Heathrow Airport. There was a couple of reasons for this. Number one, I was a little bit worried that they may delete my cab tag for the airport because they've now got this policy there of you have to go on a waiting list to obtain a tag to work the airport. And I was a little bit worried that they was going to delete those that hadn't used their tags for quite a while. So I went out there to put some credit on the tag and see what was going on out there. And there was also another couple of other reasons that I normally sit at home and answer inquiries, do bits and pieces, do the Cab Chat Show, edit it and put it out. And a few mates of mine said, why don't you go out to the airport and do all that out there with mobile internet? You can do things work anywhere. It doesn't really matter. So I thought I'd give it a try. So I went out to the airport and went in and exchanged, put some credit on my tag and also exchanged a little booster box because mine was broken. And I heard rumours that they were charging people for those and I actually got it changed for nothing. So I had a right result there. While I was sitting there, the thought came across me that I hadn't worked the airport for a number of years, and so I got talking to a driver that I'd known for a long, long time who I didn't know was working the airport, but he is. And I said to him, Mick, I said, Terminal 2, where's the rank for Terminal 2? I've never ever put on to the rank at Terminal 2. I haven't put on at the airport since Terminal 2 was built, so that's how long ago it was that I put on at the airport. And he said, he told me where Terminal 2 was, and I said, all right, Terminal 5. And he said, he told me where Terminal 5 was, and I said, Terminal 3 still in the same place? He said, yeah. And I said, Terminal 1, obviously Terminal 4 is still in the same place, always been in the same place. I said, Terminal 1, well, is the rank still at the front of the building rather than at the back, round the back? He said, Terminal 4 has been closed for 4 or 5, Terminal 1's been closed for 4 or 5 years. And I was totally unaware, even though I'd dropped off at the airport, didn't even really take any notice that I hadn't been to Terminal 1, which was really quite strange. And it doesn't really change out of the airport. There's all sorts of strange goings on out there. Drivers that string hammocks in the back of their cab and go to sleep. You know, years ago when I used to work the airport, or I used to go out there and work it quite regularly, early in the morning, you used to get in the back of the cab with a blanket and freeze yourself to death. Nowadays, they've got all sorts of reflective things that they put up at the windows to keep it warm in the back of the cab and all sorts of things. And there's all sorts of going on out there, like there's always been, you know, drivers that get out and practice the guitar in the back of the cab. My old mate Ian practicing his piano accordion. Whole bands going on in the back of a cab and all sorts of things going out. And people playing cards in the canteen. The food in the airport canteen hasn't really improved. Still about the same, to be honest with you. But yeah, I ain't done too bad out there, and I'll go out there a couple of days a week now just to sit there and do bits and pieces on the computer rather than sitting at home and doing them. And it's been working out for me lately, so I haven't been doing too bad, and I'll probably continue doing it. So yeah, it's not been doing too bad. I'll speak more about that in future episodes of the show. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go over to our recap Dan from Plan for his contribution this week. So over to you, Dan.
And now it's Recap Dan from Plan. He's the man.
Thanks, that Jamie. Hi, everyone. It's Dan at Plan. Hope everyone is well. I know it's been a while since I've last spoke to everyone, and I know that the shows have changed slightly, so I've been under full instructions to try and keep this short and try not to recap that much. So apologies if I recap too much, but I'll do my best. So today I'm going to talk about on-off insurance, or what we've recently seen about on-off insurance. Now, I know I've spoken about this before, and it isn't a thing, but recently a new insurance provider, I believe they're called Zego or Zygo, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, but it's spelled Z-E-G-O. They come out, and they was on Sky News as promoting this new way of buying insurance and being fairer for drivers and blah, 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 all that type of stuff. And they was talking about flexible insurance. And then a lot of drivers that I've seen on Twitter, especially Twitter, have then commented and then linked us into it saying, is this the magical on-off insurance that Leon Daniel spoke about? Now, it's not, it is on-off, but it's not on-off. Right? So I try and explain it the best I can. Insurance is the, from reading the stuff and the policy wording and the stuff behind this Zego policy or Zygo policy, the drivers are always insured. Okay, but what happens is there's flexibility in the price. So I'll break it down. So I'm recapping. I know, apologies. Right, they buy an insurance, a 30-day policy, a bit like some London black cab drivers do, that you can buy weekly, monthly policies. We know private hire have been doing this for years, and so have many taxi drivers as well. We've been doing it for years. So what Zego do is they sell a 30-day policy for an upfront cost. I'm not sure what that upfront cost is, because it's all calculated on who you are, where you live, what car you drive, bonus and blah, 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 all that type of stuff that makes up an insurance policy. But they'll sell you a 30-day policy. Now, that Zego policy is then linked to your Uber account. And then what that does is it looks at how many customer journey hours you do spent logged onto the app. So when you click to say you're ready to take a booking. I'm not sure how it works with Uber and how the app works, but I'm only assuming this part. I'm assuming that they turn on their Uber app that's already been connected to their Zego account or Zygo account, and as soon as they push I'm ready to work, Zego or Zygo know about it, and then the minutes and hours start tacking up. Then at the end of the month, Zego will then go to the driver, the policyholder, and say, right, you did this many hours, you're getting no money back. Or they'll say to the driver, you did this many hours, you're entitled to this much money back on your policy. All right? There is a set minimum, which they haven't outlined what the minimum cost is, but I'm sure they'll declare that upfront when you buy the policy. So what you do is you pay for your monthly policy like they would do now, and then throughout the course of the month, it tracks all your hours. And then when you get to the 30 days, it says, like, this is how many hours you worked. So we need this much money from you. You've paid this much, you owe us no more. Or they'll say, you work this many hours, you're entitled to this much money back. So there you go. So it isn't a on-off insurance. It's just a flexible costing. So you pay a fixed upfront cost. And I'm recapping, but you pay a fixed upfront cost, and then that upfront cost could get you a refund back, depending on how many hours you work. Now, I'm listening to everyone, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be people out there saying, well, how do I get one? We have looked at, Plan Insurance have looked at pay-per-mile insurance before, and we have looked at this type of model, but to do it, you need numbers. There's no point us selling it to one, two, three, or even 10 drivers. To do this in bulk, we're talking you need 100, 150 plus minimum drivers. The reason this model works well for Zego and Zygo and Uber is they've got tens of thousands of drivers that are on that app and platform. So they're going to have tens and thousands of drivers that will have access to it. I'm not saying they're all going to buy it because they'll all do their own thing. They'll obviously continue buying their weekly, monthly ones, or continue buying their annual insurance, whatever they do. But there's a bigger percentage of drivers that might take this up. So they're going to have the numbers. So if a lot of London black cab drivers, if a group of you want to get together and you can rustle up 50 or more drivers, and you all say, right, Dan, we want to do this pay per mile or pay per hour driving thing like the Uber drivers do, then we can do it. But I can't do it with 10 or 15 of you. It would have to be a minimum of 50 plus. And then I'd go to underwriters and say, right, I've got these 50 drivers that all want to have a flexible payment model, and then we would put something together. But when we've done the rate modelling behind this, and obviously looked at the larger numbers and data and all that type of stuff consumed, because as an insurance company, you're always going to want a minimum amount to cover the risk involved. I wouldn't envision you're going to say, if you're doing more than, say, 18,000 miles a year, when I've done the modelling behind this, if you're doing more than 18,000 miles a year, I don't think flexible driving is going to work for you. If you're doing under 18,000, then flexible driving insurance, or however you want to word it, could be a possibility. So you're going to, if you want to do something less, you can get a lot of you, you can get 50 or more of you drivers together that are all only doing a little, only working part-time, only doing a bit of work here and there, and you're retiring or getting to retirement age and you want to get together, then yeah, something we can do. But as I said to you, I don't think it's going to be beneficial to you because there's a minimum cost involved. So that's it. So that's how on-off cover works with Zego. It's not on-off. It's always insured, but the pricing is flexible depending on the amount of hours you work. So hopefully that explains it. So let's do a fact or fiction. So I prepared one a while ago, but obviously I haven't been on the show for a while. It was Halloween-y themed. So you'll need to decide whether or not I'm still telling the truth or making it up. So how shall I word this one? Because I forgot how I was going to do it back in the time. So let's start what it's about. So my fact or fiction was about the film Frankenstein, the 1932 film. So the rumour goes, the fact or fiction goes, that in 1932, when the film was released, they had to have trained nurses in attendance in the cinemas because they were afraid people would die or pass out from fright of watching it. Now, as a result of this, anyone that attended the film, the first person to die would be guaranteed to be insured for £1,000 cash payout. So there you go, there's my fact or fiction. So is that fact or is that fiction? So the first Frankenstein film, the 1932 film, had trained nurses in attendance, and if someone was to die of fright, Lloyd's of London would pay out £1,000 to the next of kin. So is that fact or fiction? So I'll hand you back to Jamie in the studio, and then I'll come back to you guys later and let you know if that's true or false or fact or fiction. All the best. Speak soon.
Almost 1 million people have listened to our show, and now thanks to our podcast, even more will know. Super Cab is our savior, his talent is a gift, his ego is downloadable, but you need extra bandwidth.
So there you go, that was our Dan from Plan. So on Twitter recently, a few of you probably noticed that I kept saying that I was going to transfer over to using CabVision in the cab for my credit card payments. And I was probably one of the first to register for their new sort of CabPay mobile device, which is the same Mura device as CabApp and PayPal, So I've got the equipment fitting in the cab, so it's quite easy for me to swap over and continue using that and be fully TFL compliant. So I registered and never followed it through. And then Lady Costa made an offer on Twitter. For anybody that had contributed to UTAG could pick up one of their CabPay mobile point of sale devices free of charge, rather than $49.95 plus VAT. So I thought I'd take advantage of that offer, and I went over and I completed the sign up process and gave all my proof of identification and everything. They gave me the CabVision CabPay Mura device free of charge. Downloaded the app, set me up on the system, and I must say that I think it's probably the simplest system to use out there at the moment, and it is probably one of the quickest as well. And the reason that I decided to change was I have been using the PayPal and taking advantage of the 1.5% offer through Taxi app, which is great. And you know, the money goes into your PayPal account almost immediately, and then you can transfer it into your bank account. But that 1.5% only applies to UK issued cards. On the PayPal website, they actually say that cards issued in other countries may attract a higher charge, but they don't specify what that higher charge might be. Now, I noticed that on some American cards, I was being charged 4.5% to 5%, which is ludicrous. And CabVision offer 1.99% plus 10p for all card types, including American Express. So they also pay 6 days per week, and they've got 24/7 UK transaction report, you know, for your peace of mind. So anyone that's paid into UTAG that doesn't take advantage of this offer must be absolutely mad. You've got to be mad not to take advantage of the offer, even if you only go and get it as a backup system. But personally, I'm using it as my main source of card processing now, using my PayPal and my Cab app as my backups. There is a reason for this. Sometimes you go into different areas where one network drops out and another one still is going. So I've got my Cab app on my phone that's got O2 on it, and the CabVision is on my phone that's on the free network. So if one fails, I've always got a backup with the other, and vice versa, because they're on two completely different frequencies. So hopefully I should be covered with reception anywhere around London. So if you do subscribe to UTAG and you fancy taking advantage of the offer, go over to CabVision in Lukin Street, in off the commercial road there, and sign up for it. Or you can sign up online. Just go to cabpay.uk and you can sign up online, and they'll send it out to you. So take advantage of that. And even if you don't, $49.95 plus VAT is probably the cheapest for one of these Mura devices you're going to find anyway. I think even the PayPal one is $59.95 plus VAT. So I would say give it a go and go with it and give it a try. So what we're going to do now, we're going to go over to our drum slayer and hear his contribution for this week, and I'll be back after that.
And now here's Drum Slayer.
Thanks, Jamie. Hello all. Drum Slayer returns in his stentorian glory. The other Sunday, I'm on Liverpool Street Station around about 2:30 in the afternoon. Two cabs in front of me. A few cabs have already gone, I've seen. And this couple sitting in the back of the cab and the two drivers discussing, and all of a sudden they get out and they come to me and they say, "Driver, do us a favour, just take us to the Walkabout Club, Bar, near Temple Station. It's on the embankment. And I said, well, what about the guy in front? They say, they don't know where it is. That's what they're talking about. One says, oh, I don't know it. Well, we tell him it's near Temple Station. Where's that? Well, down the embankment. And they're discussing it. Needless to say, the two drivers are not from these shores. And most probably have done what is euphemistically known as the quickie knowledge. They don't seem to mind me driving off with their passenger. They're heavily engaged in a discussion. So we make for the walkabout on the embankment, Victoria Embankment. But I have to say, in all fairness to those two drivers, it is no longer called the walkabout. It's now called Salsa. So maybe they haven't been out that long and they don't remember when it was the walkabout. But then they should have been able to get the clues. You know, embankment, Temple Station. Anybody dropped off at the Crown Plaza, London, Ealing? It's the hotel right on the corner of Western Avenue and Hanger Lane. So I took somebody there from Euston Station. And what you do is, obviously, you don't go down the underpass that comes back out onto the A40. You stay on the left, crossing over Hanger Lane. You pass the hotel, but take the very first left. It's a street that begins with an L, but then very quickly left again, and there's a barrier. The barrier lets you in automatically once they spot you. Mind you, I had to wait a bit. But now this is the problem, getting out. The out barrier just doesn't move. Then you have to alight your cab, go in the hotel, and they give you a number on a piece of paper, which is a pain in the ass because you're thinking, is there a camera on me? I'd already had a punter that took time paying on a card. And obviously you have to hide your, or take with you, your valuables when you go into the hotel. You punch the number digits into the machine, and then the barrier is up and you're away. Escape. Talking of taking cards, it's always been a bit of a respite when you get older people in, because they generally pay cash. Or they did. Because now I'm getting old people using cards. And I think what it is, do you remember in the old days on a Monday and a Tuesday, the post office was always packed out. There were queues going down the road because everybody was getting their pensions and their benefits in cash. But now everybody has their benefits and pensions paid into their bank accounts. So they now have cards and they use them in black cabs. Wouldn't you know it? The other day, a lovely young lady says to me, driver, why is Uber so shit? I replied, well, Uber are so shit because we're so good. I went on to explain that Uber seems to work in other countries because the indigenous cab service is normally so crap. An example being New York, where people say to me, well, if they've got the choice of a filthy New York cab, yellow cab, with a driver who doesn't know where he's going, or they've got the choice of an Uber, clean Uber, with a driver who doesn't know where he's going, they choose the Uber. So in most countries, both services, private hire, gypsy cabs, mini cabs, and licensed legitimate taxis, are equally as bad. But in London, I can't speak for the rest of the UK, but in London, where taxi driving is a profession, not a transient pastime, they can't compete. But sometimes, with our knowledge, it's very, very difficult to navigate yourself around London, especially with all the roadworks. Absolutely every journey I do, whether I've got passengers or I'm empty, I have to somehow get round roadworks and all the inconvenience these entail. You'd think that the authorities would recognise our hardships and fortitude and perhaps apologise for all the inconvenience and mayhem they've put us through for so long now. Absolutely no chance there. Yet if you happen to drive an electric vehicle or private cars, councils want to show you some kindness. They're talking of green registration plates for electric cars, and one of the benefits and incentives could be that they are allowed to use bus lanes. Well, I can't see a electric private hire letting that one go, can you? You can't let private cars use bus lanes and not private hire. So in the future, there may be some loophole for the private hire industry and disreputable apps to gain some advantage through the back door. Catch my drift? As you go over Waterloo Bridge, you see the IMEX Centre. You'll notice a great big advertisement for Captain, the private hire app, owned by Daimler, who also own Freenow. And there's some strange little bullet points on this ad. For instance, tax paid locally. What does that mean? Lets you round up the fare and donate to charity. Does that include the enslaved driver partners? I've noticed of late some TXE recent badge holders in the mid to late 70s driving like maniacs. If any of you are listening to this broadcast, please may I remind you that you will never ever become a millionaire doing this job. You'll make a living and you may have security, but you'll never become a millionaire. Remember that when you're cutting everybody up left, right and centre. I only ever met one black cab driver who drove a Rolls Royce, but he got that when he gave up black cab driving. He ended up running clubs, escort clubs in Mayfair. I believe he did quite well out of that. So I'm going to bid you farewell before I get escorted out of here. Be lucky, all. Chat to you next time.
Welcome back. It's Dan at Plan again. Thanks again, Jamie, for passing it over. So, fact or fiction time. So just to recap, before the break, I said the 1932 film Frankenstein, when it was released, had trained nurses in attendance throughout the film in case anyone went into shock. And also Lloyd's of London would insure anyone that died up to £1,000. And was that true or was that false? That is in fact true. Lloyd's of London did issue an insurance policy to the film producers, which stated that anyone that died through fright from watching the film, they would pay out £1,000 cash to their next of kin. It was payable to the first patron dying, not to everyone, and it was during the screenings of Frankenstein, but no claims were ever made on it. So there you go. So that was my fact of fiction. So again, just to remind everyone and to recap, if you do phone plan and you phone plan because you heard of us or heard of me on Cab Chat, make sure you mention that to the sales team. Or when you go online, if you're searching us, make sure you look at our dedicated Cab Chat page, which is planinsurance.co.uk/Cab Chat. And then you can enter your details into there and we will phone you back with a quote. So don't forget to mention Cab Chat. Also, if you recommend anyone, make sure they say your name, make sure they say Cab Chat, because you'll get a recommendation fee for recommending them. And then they'll also get a discount because of the Cab Chat. And also, don't forget, we do more than just taxi insurance. We do all types of commercial insurance, shops, restaurants, hotels, body shops, repair centres, builders, constructions, you name it, we'll insure it. So I'll hand you back to Jamie in the studio and I'll catch up with you guys in a bit. Thank you, all the best. Thanks.
Extra listeners, because we think we are great. So if you like our station, then please go tell a mate. If you can get some of your pals to tune into our show, we promise we will have a day with Ginger Nuts and Cocoa.
Oh, I do love Ginger Nuts.
Oh, fuck, you love Ginger Nuts.
Cab Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat.
There you go, that was our Drum Slayer with his contribution this week. And something else I wanted to talk about is our friends of the show and members of the team, Joe Cartwright and John Cox, have released a new Christmas song called An Old Fashioned Christmas. And it's great. I think it's fantastic. And you can download it from various different places. Spotify. You can download it from iTunes or wherever you want. And we're going to play it towards the end of the show to give you a listen to it. Until next time, that's all we've got time for on this show. There will be more shows coming out this week. So if you're out there working, please be careful. Keep those doors locked. Earn loads. Stay safe. Be lucky. And most of all, as I always say, have fun. Because what's life unless you're having fun? See you later. Bye.
That's the end of another Cab Chat show, and this bunch of idiots can go back to driving their cabs again. Something they actually know how to do. Until next week, have a great week. Thanks for listening.